Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, there is a severe issue with derelict buildings in Ireland while the country experiences a housing crisis. Levies are placed upon the owners of these sites, or they're supposed to be. Yesterday it was reported, for instance, that Cork City Council has only managed to collect a third of those levies in the last 5 years. Frank O'Connor is co-instigator of the Derelict Ireland movement. Frank, good afternoon to you.
No, good afternoon, Sean.
Right, so before we start talking about the budget, and there might be a little bit of good news in that, and I stress the little bit, why are and it's not just Cork, why are local authorities having trouble collecting these levies?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're not surprised by the article yesterday. It's been an ongoing issue, Sean. I mean, the law has been in place for 35 years, so 1990 was put in place, and they've struggled the whole time to do that. I mean, in fact, Cork, while those results for Cork are quite poor, they're actually better than the rest of Ireland. I mean, the average across the country is 10% collection in the last kind of roundup. So you're talking about like 10% collection. You're talking about quite a few local authorities never actually invoiced either. So, I mean, it's basically, you're talking about 13 local authorities didn't invoice and 17 didn't collect. So, yeah, it's been disappointing. And like you said, in the middle of a housing emergency, we need to do better. And I think it's been something the council have struggled with. I mean, we've spoken a lot, myself and my partner, Jude Cherry, who started the campaign 5 years ago. We've spoken a lot to different council staff across the country. And they've said from the start, there's always been a challenge with enforcing the legislation. There's been a culture of, maybe in Ireland, as we've seen, it's been very much normalised to see dereliction everywhere. And obviously dereliction, like you say yourself, it costs us homes, but also community spaces, and also creates public squalor, you know. So obviously really impacts the feeling in a town or a city and stuff. And I think the councils, they've never sort of have got that grapple on trying to enforce this. Now, maybe it's been a fact of maybe they haven't the full resources, you know, they haven't been able to kind of maybe go out and sometimes say, basically be strong enough to create the registry, because the first step is identifying derelict properties. So that's the first step you do. So this law that's been in place for 35 years, it requires you to go out first and create a registry. So I think the council's failed with that initially. So we found, for example, when we started our study 5 years ago, which is well documented, we found 700 derelict properties within 2 kilometres of Cork City Centre when the Cork City Council were only reporting 95 at the time. So you can see there's a big discrepancy there. Now, the study that Jude and I did was the first study of its kind in Ireland, but it's the same across the country. And now groups like us have been set up as a result of the campaign in Sligo and Drogheda, and the numbers have been slowly increasing in terms of registrations. But once you register, you then obviously have to contact the owner and charge them 7% levy. And that's where a lot falls down. And obviously some of the councils have set up schemes where in theory they should be compulsory purchasing the properties within 2 years. But again, that doesn't happen. And you know, it's something we've been campaigning for, and it's something that Jude and I specifically obviously have been pushing for, is a switch away from the councils for collection to revenue. And that's something that we can talk about in a minute. But yeah, look, it's disappointing. I mean, you know yourself, I'm not sure where you live personally, but every town, every city in Ireland, everyone's affected by dereliction, you know, and it's got so many more impacts, you know, in terms of environment, in terms of safety, visually, you know, it's such a negative impact in society. And I think it's like for us, I was living away, myself and my partner were living away. We moved back to Ireland 7 years ago. And for us to come back and experience it firsthand and see people on the streets struggling to get a home, but yet empty properties everywhere. I mean, where we live in Cork, for example, there's kids who live in temporary accommodation who walk past a load of derelict houses. Some of these derelict houses are council owned as well. And on the way to school every day. And what does it say to those kids about their value in society? So obviously it's been an issue that's been around. People will argue it's been around since the foundation of the state, Sean. Obviously it's been a long-term issue, but we've had the law in place for 35 years and we haven't managed to come to terms with how we can actually make it work. So obviously it's a big issue in society. And from our point of view, there are solutions that we could be bringing in. And that's what we've been arguing from the outset.
Yeah. Is there any, even a ballpark figure, how many derelict properties there are in the state?
No, I mean, there are figures given out occasionally. For example, geodirectories identified 20,000 derelict properties a number of years back. And that's kind of interesting because they identified around 22,000. But if you look at the official registrar, you'll only find about 1900, 2000.
Yeah.
So again, a big discrepancy there. I mean, like that's why one of the reasons we did the study was, you know, we were kind of confused, to be honest. We were like looking at the official data and walking around our streets in Cork and going, this doesn't make sense. And we felt by doing a study, by actually going through, so we actually spent a couple of years gathering the data. So before we actually started releasing it, we'd spent 2 years gathering the data, walking around, talking to people, taking photographs, videos, and documenting what we were seeing. And we felt by producing the data, it would be something tangible that people could walk to and say, well, actually, if we found 700, you know, look, we actually stopped counting at 700 as well, you know. So the numbers are much, much higher. And I suppose data is a big issue in Ireland, and something that Jude and I have been arguing for, obviously, is a far more comprehensive data system, but also a breakdown in terms of homes that are in use, homes that are empty, and homes that are derelict, you know, so that we understand clearly. And also, again, I mean, I'm not sure how much you've chatted about this before, but like there's data from the census, there's data from the electricity, there's data from GeoDirectory, there's data from people like us, there's a whole load of data, but there's no central data system, no central registration. I mean, when we lived in Amsterdam previously, you could basically find out any details you wanted to about any other property in the city. Yeah. It was all publicly available. So you knew the age of the property, you knew when it was sold, how much it was sold for, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you know, in Ireland, we still don't know in Ireland, Sean, how many homes are in the country. Like, never mind derelict homes. We actually don't know.
We don't know. Somebody's texting in to say, not only that, but the vacant property refurbishment grant of €70,000 increased those rural properties by €70,000.
I mean, that's something that a lot of people have mentioned. I mean, it's been very successful that, obviously, the dereliction grant, when they bought on the vacancy and dereliction grant a number of years ago, again, as a result of the campaign, the demand far exceeded their expectations, you know. So yeah, and that's always the issue with grants. You know, I suppose people can say they put the property prices up. But obviously, we have a challenge here that we, of, as you know yourself, we've got 5,145 officially numbers now of children in emergency accommodation, over 16,000 people. And we have, from the data that we've been working with, we have definitely over 160,000 empty homes and another 20,000 plus derelict. Now, that's not I'm not counting holiday homes or anything here. I'm just talking about empty homes and derelict homes. And again, to give you an example of the discrepancies, recently you might be familiar with the vacant home tax. It was, the campaign, we highlighted it, it came out, but it was designed to fail. And I'll give you an example why it's designed to fail. Data released very recently via the census, properties in Ireland that are connected to electricity, ready to go. They found 72,000 homes not being used, ready to go, where the vacant home tax, when it was applied for that particular period, was only to 3,000 homes. So really, we have enough homes for everyone, but we have to have a better system in terms of bringing them back into use. And again, that's where, from our point of view, you know, the grants, you need your carrots and you need your sticks, but you also need to look at other ways of getting the homes back in the market. And something that Jude and I have spoken a lot about is compulsory sales and compulsory rental, which have worked in other countries.
Yeah.
You know, so in other words, you know, just say you've got a home and you've decided to leave it empty for the next couple of years. Well, I would argue that's not okay. Not in our current climate, not in a housing emergency, not when kids are struggling, you know. You have to rent your home out. You get a fair rent for it, and obviously for a particular period. You know, these things can be worked out. You know, but we shouldn't be in a country with people on the streets and children in emergency accommodation when we have so many homes. And it's always important to remember as well, Sean, that the most sustainable building is the existing one. You know, and we talk about all the time in the media about climate crisis and resource crisis and biodiversity. But those existing homes, they're connected to existing infrastructure. They're generally in locations, in high percentage, in towns and cities where a lot of people want to live. And if they could live there, they could have far more sustainable lifestyles. They could use public transport. They would have access to schools, cafes, all the things that make your life better. And I think, so we've sort of ended up in a situation where it's just become so normalized, this kind of systems failure, and culturally accepted. When we started the campaign, like, to be honest, a lot of people just said that they hadn't noticed it anymore. And of course, when you begin to notice it again,
yes, they're everywhere. Yeah.
Oh my God! And the things you can't stop noticing it then, you see. And so, like, from our point of view, it was always like, I don't want to see kids in emergency accommodation. I don't want to see people on the streets. I want everyone to have a home. And I also want to live in a city or a town. We chose to live in a city centre, Jude and I. We don't have a car. We love living in the middle of the city and everything that goes with that. But we don't want to walk around every day, which we do, and see the kind of public squalor, the decay, the derelict. And the heritage crumbling. You know, there's been so many examples, not just in Cork, but across the country, of buildings crumbling to the ground. And there's obviously a safety issue as well. And a lot of people go on about our cities not being as safe to live in anymore. But if you take away the decay and the dereliction and the long-term vacancy, your cities and towns will look a lot better straight away.
Yeah, indeed. Now, can we just move on to, I suppose, a little glimmer of good news in that this system of local authorities collecting levies is in the process of being quietly shelved, because there was an announcement in the budget of it's going to turn from a levy into a tax. As far as you know, Frank, how is this going to work?
Yeah, well, the details are sketchy, but this is what we wanted. So look, you've got to kind of go, this is positive. You've got to celebrate the wins. We've been campaigning for this. We've wanted it. Now, great news, it's been said it's going to happen, but they're quite vague on the time frames for that. And I suppose that's one of our concerns. So they're saying that the next step is, so it's revenue collection, like you say, they have the legal powers, they have the resources, they have the expertise. Like, if you look at local property tax, Sean, the revenue are 95% success rate in terms of local property tax. So if we can transfer that into dereliction, and, you know, it's a big, big win. But of course, the timeframes, they're pushing it out over the next 2-3 years. Whereas what our argument would be is that we already have the dereliction registers from the last 35. Yes, they're not perfect. They're far from perfect. But they're a good starting point. And if you add the data from stuff like the Geo Directory, which identified, like I said to you earlier, around 20,000 homes, and you put all, and there's a few other sources, well, bring these together and get it underway as soon as possible. That would be our argument, you know, start the process. And I think also it would bring confidence to people. If people knew that the government and the local authorities, the revenue, whatever, were now beginning to take this seriously, I think people would feel better straight away. But yeah, it's quite vague, but it's a positive step. So revenue will be able to collect. I think it's much harder for people to say no to revenue as it happens. They have a much higher success rate, like I said, with local property tax. Now, the timeframes, like I said, it's quite vague. And I suppose one of the things that Jude and I will be pushing for, and the rest of the people involved, it's obviously Derelict Ireland is a community across the country, campaigners everywhere, will be pushing for much quicker enforcement. And actually, Jude and I will be speaking to the Oireachtas next week, presenting to the Oireachtas next week about this and talking about, we presented in 2021, a toolbox of action, which thankfully things have now come on board. It's taken a few years, like the revenue. We talked about that back in 2021. Now we'll be talking about the next steps. And one of those next steps has to be quick enforcement, to bring confidence back to the people, to bring confidence back to people. So, like, you know, that they feel that this is, will be tackled seriously and it won't be just another can kicked down the road, you know?
Yeah, indeed. Now, in that happy scenario where the revenue are moving on this, will they then be taxing local authorities? Because how many of these derelict buildings belong to local authorities?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? There is a lot, you know. I mean, you know, the latest figures have reduced quite a few thousand across the country. But again, this is a really strange one because, like, again, where I live, and myself and Jude, we live in Shandon, Cork City, and lovely part of the city, historic, beautiful. But, like, we have council houses next to us or nearby, which, Sean, are there for 2, 3 and 4 years. And, like, I'll just give you a quick example there, if it's okay. There's a house across the road from where I live, it's a council house. And the guy who was in it all along and moved out, he was the best house in the street. He kept it so well, you know. He even changed the windows himself. He really was a person who was very house proud.
Yeah.
But that house, you know, has sat there for 2 years since he's left. So, yes, the council have to look at it. And not just the council, Sean. I mean, the HSC have properties. The universities have properties. The government themselves. There's another beautiful house here in Cork I've shared recently, owned by the Department of Justice. Fine house. Could be easy broken into apartments. Beautiful place. Empty for at least 6 years. So, yeah, I mean, how that's going to work, I don't know. But either way, we should not be having situations where council-owned properties, perfect homes, are empty for 2, 3, 4 years, you know? That's, again, now, I'm guessing the council would say, look, it's all being subcontracted nowadays, and maybe they need to look at a one-stop shop. Again, we've talked about that before. Maybe they need to get teams in place internally. Again, council staff have approached us in the last year and said that they'd love to go back to that situation where they have their in-house team and they go out and they tackle the house across the road from us straight away and bring it back into use, because obviously it's families, it's children, and who isn't affected by the housing society or housing crisis now? I mean, you know, it mightn't be people directly, but every one of us will know people who are struggling. Everyone will know.
Well, every family in Ireland would probably know somebody or have a family member who's affected by this. Can I just read out a text here, Frank, from one of the listeners? They say, in terms of a possible way of addressing dereliction, we should relax the fairly onerous laws concerning adverse possession, which is currently at 12 years for private property. If this was reduced to 2 or 3 years, there would be a massive incentive for owners to do something with their properties. Historically, Holland has had a very pro-squatters' rights law, although this has since changed, which meant that dereliction was very limited.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, something we've talked about a lot, you know, as well, and about squatting and the role of squatting and, you know, a kind of a custodian model is what we've proposed, where, you know, like that, there's almost like, you know, you're actually in consultation with the council and the government, and you're actually going to property and looking after it. And I think unless we bring in compulsory rental and compulsory sales, then squatting has to be a legitimate way forward. And I think the government, if they don't want squatting, bring in the compulsory rental, bring in compulsory sales, and that will hopefully free the properties back onto the market. And like squatting can be, in Ireland, can be seen to be a bad thing. But like you said, in the Netherlands, like they had a huge dereliction in the Netherlands issue back in the 70s and 80s. And people went down the streets, they protested, they campaigned, and Amsterdam was totally transformed as a result. And they introduced the squatting movement and they had their different ways. So like, you could learn, like, I suppose a lot of times, Sean, what Jude and I argue for is to look beyond, obviously, solutions we already know and look at countries that have tackled us in the past, you know, and see how they've done it. And can we bring lessons, not just in the UK and America, but bring lessons from Europe? And again, like I say, the Netherlands have been very good at Spain, have looked at compulsory rental as well. So there are ways around it. And like I say, squatting, if you had a family, Sean, or I had a family, and we were struggling on the streets, like, and you see all these empty homes and you're trying to explain to your kids that we can't have any of these, but we've got to go into like a shelter and stay in one room for the next 2, 3 years. I met a woman again recently in a housing protest, and she was telling me that she spent, I think, a couple of years with her kid, like inside in one room, and they couldn't even bring the food into the hotel room. You know, it was a temporary accommodation or whatever, emergency accommodation. So squatting definitely is something that we would say has a role to play. It can be managed in such a way that it works for the squatters and for the local people, and to ensure that the houses, the homes, are looked after. And in some situations, what happens is that the people who take over squatting, they actually slowly do it up themselves. They look after it, they maintain it. So, look, we're in a situation, in a great situation in many ways in Ireland, not for those people at home at the moment, but for us looking at it from this kind of strategic point of view, we're in a situation where we have the houses. And I know we need to build more, of course we do. But if we look at what we have and look at those who need a home and match that up, it would transform things. And you know yourself, how I meet, Jude and I do a lot of stuff on the street, we do street art and stuff to engage with people. And we meet people, like I met a guy, recently a guy, he was lovely. He's living in his car, not far from where Jude and I live. He goes to work every day. He goes for, gets a wash in one of the local homeless shelters, sleeps in his car, and he goes to work every day.
Let me read you just, before I let you go, Frank, let me read you one, a vast majority of people text in and agree with you. One or two don't. This person says, tax a derelict property is just another tax. The owner bought the property and paid stamp duty, pays property tax, etc. If the property was previously rented, then they pay a tax on rent. Maybe they can't afford to fix the property, and the idea is to tax the owner some more. Or if you can't pay, get out and let someone in who can pay some more taxes. He lives in a bubble.
Yeah, I mean, look, that argument comes up a lot. But I would say, look, you know, where's the social contract? You know, where's our moral compass? You know, we're not in a situation where we can afford to have properties everywhere and kids struggling. You know, we need to look a long time, a society that works for everyone. And so, like, if I have, an empty property somewhere. I either need to do something with it or sell it on. I mean, because really, or rent it if you can rent it or sell it on. I mean, we're not saying people have to get rid of their properties, but really, hoarding properties, it's like hoarding food in a famine, like, you know. I mean, I just would not agree with that. I can see where the guy's coming from, but I just don't agree with that. I don't think we should have a society where we hoard when people need it, you know.
Yeah. Frank, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Frank O'Connor, their co-instigator of the Derelict Ireland movement and co-founder of An Issue.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.